Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. How are you this morning? My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Restaurante on 41 Cross Street. It is Super Bowl Sunday, and who are you rooting for today? I guess, Patriots clearly aren't in the Super Bowl, but Tom Brady is, and there's this challenge out right now. Do you root for Tom Brady, or do you root against Tom Brady? Everyone's asked me, and I've asked everybody else, what are you doing? To me, I really don't care. I'm just happy that the game's on. I'm going to watch the game. I'm actually just hoping that it's a good game, and you know, I like both teams, so it doesn't matter to me who wins as far as I'm concerned. And I think I'll probably spend more time this year watching the commercials than I ever have before, because I'm not having a Super Bowl party, which is the first time in a long time that I'm not either going to one or having one at my house. The Super Bowl party at my house will consist of my wife, Laura, and my daughter, Mindy, and perhaps my son, Corey. That is all. That is all. But we did get all of the appropriate accoutrement for our Super Bowl Sunday party. We will be having nachos, of course, and my thing that I buy once a year. Once a year I do this. It is the worst thing in the world to eat, but I do it once a year for the Super Bowl, and that is salsa and Velveeta cheese. Have you ever done that? Where you take that big brick of Velveeta cheese, chop it up into cubes, throw it into the microwave, let it all soften right up, pour a jar of salsa in there and mix it all up, and it's good when you eat it. And well, you realize that it wasn't the best decision about, I don't know, an hour or so later, but it is one of my favorite things to eat for the Super Bowl. We'll be having wings, of course. And just so you know, a couple Super Bowl fun facts for you. Did you know that the average calories for a football party feast is 10,821 calories? That's what the average person eats in calories at a Super Bowl party. There will be 1.4 billion wings eaten today. There will be 10 million pounds of ribs sold the week of the Super Bowl. 28 million pounds of potato chips will be eaten. 8 million plus pounds of guacamole will be eaten. And there will be a 50% increase in pizza orders on Super Bowl Sunday compared to a regular Sunday ordering of pizza. So, you know, it's a different kind of day, and I hope you're all doing well. And we're here every Sunday providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And you know, sometimes it's not always about investments. It's not always about economics. Sometimes it's just about the money that you spend on a weekly basis as compared to the amount of money that comes into the house. We've had a lot of conversations this past week about trying to help people understand how much they're spending. You know, oftentimes folks will reach out to us, and thanks to this radio station and thanks to our presence in the community since 1967, we get a lot of calls from a lot of folks. Usually it's folks who either are approaching retirement or are in retirement, and they've been working with a financial advisor or several financial advisors, or they've been doing it by themselves, and they say, you know, Mark, it was fun for a while working with all these different people, but no one, even myself, knows where everything is and what everything is worth. I don't quite know whether I can retire. Do I have enough money? Do I have enough resources? What do I need? And they come to us, and through our financial planning process, which we do first, we do the financial planning process first because we're a fiduciary. And a fiduciary says that I must place your interest first. So think about that. Many people think of a financial advisor as the guy that goes and invests your money for you. Well, yeah, we do invest a lot of money, a little more than $500 million now at our offices in Peabody. However, before we invest dollar one, we need to know about you. How can I make a recommendation for an investment for you if I don't know every part of your financial life? I don't know where everything is and what everything is worth. So that's just that critical part. And one of the first things that we need to do is to help you understand how much are you going to need to spend on a monthly basis and perhaps even an annual basis once the paycheck stops. And it's always amazing to me to see the difference in thinking about what one partner versus the other partner thinks they spend. The other partner always blames the other one for spending more money, for sure. But generally, when they think about what they're spending, both of them are underestimating. And so we need to go through a little bit of an exercise to help them understand what it is they're spending. And I find it oftentimes interesting when we go into these initial consultation meetings and we ask you to bring some information along with you. And I'll ask you, what do you think you spend? What do you think you spend on a month-to-month basis? And let's say this couple comes into our office and they make between the two of them around $150,000, between the two of them. And I say to them, what do you think you spend on a monthly basis? They said, I don't know, $4,000 a month, maybe $5,000 a month. And I know right off the bat when they say that they're probably wrong. Because one of the things that I asked them, I said, how much has your bank account grown or shrunk in the past year? And they go, well, what do you mean by that? I said, well, let's think about this. If you have your paychecks, let's say your paychecks, perhaps you participate in your 401k plan. You put money into your 401k plan. You pay taxes, your federal taxes, your state taxes, your FICA taxes, all of that. And then you have your net check. And that net check, after participating in your 401k and you pay your taxes, maybe all of that after, if you were making $150,000, maybe that's around $100,000 that you're taking home over the course of the year. Or let's call that around $8,000 a month that you're taking home. Well, you just told me that you spend around $4,000 a month, maybe five, but I'm guessing you bring home around $8,000 a month. So if your bank account hasn't grown, or your investment accounts haven't had additional money over and above your 401k, chances are you're probably spending close to $8,000 a month. And they don't get that. So I then ask them to go home. And I ask them to grab their bank statements. Because most people operate their expenses out of one or two bank accounts. Oftentimes it's even just one. Now that bank account is where you might go to the ATM and pull cash from. It's the bank account where you pay your Visa bill from. It's the bank account where you have your automatic payments for your cable or your electricity bill. But it's generally that account. It's oftentimes the account when you go to the supermarket and you pay with a credit card. But what I need you to understand is, as a financial planner, at least in the world that I'm doing financial planning, I'm not interested in helping you build a budget. How much you should spend on food, on clothing, on entertainment, any of that stuff. Look, the way you spend your money is the way you spend your money. Asking someone to dramatically change those habits is like asking them to go on a diet and sticking to it for years. And you know how successful that has been. Think about it. How many of you are still keeping your New Year's resolutions from January 1st? So what we want to do is we want to take a baseline number to understand how you're spending your money. And the easiest way to do that is to take a look at your monthly statement that comes from the bank. And don't tell me, oh, Mark, I don't get my monthly statement. It comes electronically. Well, you can still see the number. You can pull up the PDF, and actually, you can actually see it on the screen, too. Well, on that statement every month, yes, they show the itemization of money that's come in, your deposits, your automatic direct deposits from work, the ATM withdrawals, the money that you paid for your credit cards and your electric bill and all that. But either at the top of the statement or the bottom of the statement, depending upon which bank you use, there's a number up there that says total deposits and total withdrawals. To me, that's all that matters. Total deposits and total withdrawals. Total deposits shows how much money comes into your bank account every month. And those deposits are, for the most part, from your paycheck, of course, unless you're collecting Social Security or a pension, or there's a variety of other ways, but the vast majority of them is your paycheck, Social Security, or pension. So that's your total deposits. And those deposits that have come in, those are after taxes because taxes have generally been withheld. And then right below it is that number, total withdrawals. And that total withdrawals is the aggregate amount of money that you have that comes out of your bank account every month to pay all of your bills, not some of them, all of your bills. So when you take, I don't know, $40 from the ATM, that's going to be on there. When you pay $2,000 to your credit card, that's going to be on there. Money that you paid back somebody that they owe, you owed them $50, that's going to be on there. It's all there. It's all listed. But all the detail doesn't matter. Let's just look at the withdrawal number. Now, if you can find that withdrawal number, now I want you to go back and I want you to find 6 or perhaps 12 months statements. And if you can find 12 month statements, even better, add up all of those numbers, all 12 of those withdrawal numbers. And you're going to see a number that's probably bigger than you imagined. You take that number and you divide by 12 because that's going to give you the average monthly amount. However, when you get to that average monthly amount, you're going to start thinking, well, Mark, but this was the year we had the wedding, or this was the year we had to replace the roof, or we bought a car that year. All right. You can make some adjustments, but always remember, unless it's one major expense like a wedding, if it's to replace a car or to redo the driveway, what do you think? You're not going to have other major expenses that are going to come up in the years that follow? Of course you are. Perhaps every 4 or 5 years you'll replace your car. And if you have two of them, maybe it's every 2 years because you kind of roll through the updating of cars. You're going to have to repaint the house sometimes. You're going to replace the roof. You're going to have to redo different things in the house. Maybe you'll want to give a little bit of extra money to the kids or the grandkids. So don't go crazy. Don't say, oh, we need to reduce that large withdrawal number significantly. That's what your monthly expenses are. Now when we know what your monthly expenses are, now we can begin to think about, do you have enough money to support your life in retirement? That's the first step. Not whether you have too much money in large cap growth funds or not enough money in small cap growth, or whether you should be more in stocks or bonds or cash, or whether you should move your money to an online banking system or just a regular local bank system. That's not what matters. First, you got to understand cash flow. How much money is coming into the house and less how much money is going out? Now, that is the taboo question. Nobody really wants to know the answer. Especially folks that are building up credit cards. If you have credit cards right now, and there's a balance that's being carried in your credit card, and it is not being paid off, that's a big part of your cash flow problem. That stuff all has to be gone before you're ready to retire. I didn't say it has to be, I mean, I don't like you to carry a balance at all, but any large balances that you're carrying on your credit card, folks, that's got to be gone. But then there's other things that are part of your expenses, things like a mortgage. So let's say you're 55 years old and you're 15 years into your 30-year mortgage. That monthly expense for your mortgage has 15 years left, right? But you're likely to live longer than 15 years. It's going to carry even further. So you've got the mortgage that's going to go away. Yeah, the mortgage is going to go away. But I oftentimes remind people that just because you're paying $3,000 on your mortgage payment, just using that as an example, that $3,000 isn't going away. Only the principal and interest portion of that payment is going away. You've gotten so used to making that mortgage payment of $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, whatever that amount of money is that you spend. But oftentimes that mortgage payment includes insurance and it includes property tax in that payment. With interest rates being as low as they are these days, sometimes the smallest part of that mortgage payment is your principal and interest. So just don't think that that mortgage cost is going to go away. It's the principal and interest cost may go away over time, but you still have to pay the property tax. You still have to pay the insurance. So these are some of the things that we help you uncover or discover when we're having our first meeting. Because if you want to set up success for your future in retirement, you need to know where the cash flow is going, what you own, where it all is, what you owe, so that you can have a better perspective. All of the other stuff outside of it, your investments, whether you own a 401k or a individual investment account or an annuity or an insurance policy, whatever it might be that you might have, all that stuff doesn't matter at this point, because we're not going to start tweaking any of those things until we make sure that you are on the track and you understand the direction that you need to head in order to achieve success. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning, I'd encourage you to give us a call. We offer a free initial consultation to our clients. Now remember this, many of our clients are 55 plus. They're either approaching retirement or they're in retirement. They've worked with a variety of different financial advisors in the past, or perhaps they've just tried to go it on their own. And they finally come to the conclusion that, you know what? It's time for us to sit down with somebody who's going to look at the big picture, who's going to take our situation seriously and not try to show us some stock that maybe you could hit a home run on. We're going to look at this thing appropriately so that we can walk into retirement with a confidence that we can live the lifestyle that we had hoped we could live. And if you can't do it or you need to make adjustments, we're going to let you know. Many times, and I will tell you this, I've said this 1,000 times on the radio, oftentimes you're in better shape than you thought you were in. It's just you haven't used your money smart. And we can help you make smart decisions with that money when you come in to visit with us. Give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. When we get back, I got a few important things I want to talk to you about. Number one, I want to talk to you about taxes because you're starting to get your 1099s and how to start planning about all those taxes. Number two, I want to explore with you some charitable opportunities that many people have forgotten about that may be beneficial to you from a tax standpoint. And lastly, of course, let's go revisit the Super Bowl and take a look at one of these strategies that show should investors root for Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes today as we head into this year in the stock market. We'll take a quick break. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Italian Eatery in Middleton and Teresa's Prime in North Reading offer the perfect night out for you and your Valentine. And now is the time to plan ahead. Teresa's offers a special night out menu. And this year, you can celebrate Valentine's Day Thursday through Sunday. Start with a Valentine martini. Then select from the special Valentine menu for flavorful meats, fresh seafood, and of course, great Italian dishes. Finish it all off with a decadent dessert. Details at teresaseatery.com or make your reservation on Open Table today.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Did you know that professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States? And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, you should see the Anderson Woodright replacement windows, which can add considerable value to any home. See the Anderson windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. For more than 50 years, we've been providing individuals and families on the North Shore and Merrimack Valley with financial advice in a language you can understand. As each of us struggle to find answers in this uncertain environment, we're continuing to communicate with our clients in a variety of ways. Our weekly newsletter, our video town hall, our client teleconferences, and periodic phone calls continue to offer ways to address clients' questions despite remaining physically distant. If you're feeling alone and searching for rational advice during these emotional times, perhaps Friedman Financial can provide the comfort that you need. Give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Money, 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 money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante on 41 Cross Street. We have been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families living on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire area since 1968. Yeah, that's right. Long time. 53 years. Hard to believe that. Starting our 53rd year. Actually, maybe starting our 54th year. 53 years. My math's not great. Dad started the firm back in 1968. He retired in 2007. And so it's hard to believe we're starting our 14th year with me at the helm, and my father now retired down in Florida enjoying himself. In fact, usually on a Sunday morning, he's on the treadmill listening to this show. And so, hi, Dad. Just saying hello, giving you a shout out there. Maybe one of these days we'll get you on the show and you can kind of offer some reflections to our listeners as well. It is Super Bowl Sunday, and lots of things going on. When I think about Super Bowl Sunday, I share with you an interesting fact about myself. When you know, when people ask you, well, tell me something that we may not know about you, Mark, or you know, you're into those things, or you're with a bunch of friends and they go around in a circle. Tell us something that we might not know about you. Well, here's something that you may not know about me. I was once in a Super Bowl halftime show. That's right. If you go to YouTube and you search for Super Bowl 20, Super Bowl XX halftime show, it's when the Patriots played the Bears down in New Orleans in the Superdome at the time, which I believe now is like Mercedes-Benz Field. I did the halftime show with a group called Up With People. I traveled with them for a year from 85 to 86. So January of 1986, I traveled with them all around the world. Got to go to Japan, got to go to Europe, traveled all across the United States, entertaining and spreading a message of building bridges of better communication among people of all nations. And I traveled with 125 people in my cast, representing 23 different countries. And there were five of those casts that traveled simultaneously around the world. And we all got together for the Super Bowl to do the halftime. This was before they had the mega celebrities doing shows. Believe it or not, Up With People has done more Super Bowl halftime shows than any other organization. Yeah, we've done four Super Bowls. I mean, I've only done one of them. So if you happen to go to YouTube today and you look up Super Bowl 20 halftime show, the band that's in the middle, on the middle of the stage there, I'm the guy playing the keyboards wearing the yellow sweatshirt. I got a few, not full close-ups, but you'll be able to see me pretty well. If you go there, you can. The halftime show is only about, what, 7 or 8 minutes, something like that. Give it a shot if you want to see me. I was a lot skinnier. And had a lot more dexterity back then, let's say. But that was me. Halftime show, guy in the yellow sweatshirt, doing the Super Bowl. So, you know, that's one of my favorite memories. When we always think about Super Bowls, we hit these memory pieces that pop up that remind us of that Super Bowl. But also because the Patriots have been in so many Super Bowls, one of my friends from the year I traveled in Up With People is now an executive producer over at BBC over in London. And so whenever the Patriots win the Super Bowl, yeah, it's been four times I think we've done this now, she calls me with her team and my family and whoever is at my house for the Super Bowl party gets on BBC TV that night as a live report from someone's home in the States reporting on the Patriots win. And so that's been kind of fun too. So I've been posting those memories up on Facebook as well. So, but we are here each and every Sunday trying to provide you with some financial advice in a language you can understand. And if you want to get it even more often, every Friday landing in your inbox, you can join the 7,500 subscribers who get planning pointers. This is a newsletter that we write in our office, and we've been doing it since March of 2009. Go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page. Put in your name and your email address, and we will get you signed up for planning pointers. It's also an opportunity in that little text box below. You got a question for me, you got some thoughts, something you want me to address on the air. Happy to do that. Last week, I don't know what it was that I said last week, but it fueled the fire for a lot of people to sign up for my newsletter. We've never seen so many. Well, I mean, we had, I think, 12 people signed up for our newsletter last Sunday, which really surprised me. Sometimes I wonder, is anybody even listening to this show? But clearly 12 people were, because they all signed up for the newsletter. So if you'd like to sign up for our free newsletter, go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page at all, and you'll be able to put in your name, your email address, and boom, you get it Friday every 10th at 10:30 every morning. Jeez. Every morning on Friday at 10:30, it will land in your inbox. All right. When I last left you, I promised I would talk a little bit about taxes. A couple things that are very important as it relates to taxes right now. We are sitting here as the first weekend in February, and many people are beginning to receive what are called your 1099s. A 1099 tax form is something that you get in the mail that reflects any interest, dividends, or capital gains and capital gain distributions that were earned in the previous year. Now, banks generally get that out to you right away because if you've got money in a CD or in a money market fund, they can very easily report to you how much interest was earned on your account. Now, I think we all know that that interest is going to be pretty pitiful because, you know, what are banks paying? And sometimes if that number is so small, they don't even bother to send you a 1099, but those are coming up. Others who have brokerage accounts are receiving 1099s throughout the course of this month. Now, there are some folks that are going to get something that's called a 1099-R. A 1099-R is a statement that reflects money that has come out of your retirement account. Let's say you had an IRA and you took a distribution from it. Let's say you took $5,000 from your IRA. That is pretty easy to define. The brokerage firm just sends that form out. It says you took a distribution of $5,000 or $10,000. It will also show on that 1099 if taxes were withheld. Certainly through an office like mine, when people take money out of their IRA account, we will withhold the federal and state taxes for you. But oftentimes other people choose not to, and that's okay. That 1099 just reflects what has been reported to the IRS as to whether, first of all, what's come out, what has been withheld from federal tax, and what's been withheld from state tax. The other type of 1099 you get is if you have just a general brokerage account and your brokerage account earns dividends, interest, or maybe you did some trading in your account that reflects any of the buys and sells that have gone on. So let's talk about that kind of a 1099. And that, by the way, that 1099 may not land in your mailbox until the end of the month of February. Yeah, it used to have to come out the end of January, but that has been pushed out because the brokerage firms in the world have become a clearinghouse for so many different types of investments that they can't report everything to you until they get the reports from all of the other people that have connected to the brokerage account. So that's why it's a little bit later. But a couple things to look for on your 1099. Number one is the difference between what's called a qualified dividend and a non-qualified dividend. Remember, qualified dividends get taxed at a different rate than non-qualified dividends. So you want to be sure if you're using TurboTax or one of the Quicken programs or whatever it might be, that you're putting in the right numbers there. Also make sure that you find the interest payment. That's different from dividends. Also, though, on that 1099 is something that's called your realized gains and losses. Now, realized gains and losses tell us what you sold during the course of the year. That's the realized gain. So if you invested $10,000 in Coca-Cola and you sold it for $15,000, you made a $5,000 profit. Now, if you had held Coca-Cola for at least 1 year or longer, that's considered a long-term capital gain. Less than 12 months, it's a short-term capital gain. But one of the things that we have found with so many people who have come to our office, not our clients because we do a good job of this, but people have come to us, is oftentimes the brokerage firms that you might work with, or perhaps even yourself, you never put in what's called the cost basis, what you paid for the security. And if you don't know, if it's not reported on your 1099 what you paid for the security, the IRS assumes that your entire sale is subject to tax. So for instance, let's use that same example. You know you bought Coca-Cola for $10,000. You sold it for $15,000, but the brokerage firm doesn't know that because maybe for whatever reason you bought Coca-Cola, you just bought the security somewhere, or you bought it at a different brokerage house. And then you moved it to the new brokerage house and they didn't carry the cost basis information. All they saw was that you had Coca-Cola for $15,000. And when you sold Coca-Cola, it shows $15,000 was the proceeds you received. That's what you got. But if it doesn't show what you paid, it's going to say that you owe taxes on $15,000. And this catches people oftentimes by surprise. They go, why do I owe so much in taxes? Maybe my accountant screwed up. Maybe I didn't have the proper withholdings done. Maybe my financial planner is an idiot. You can think a lot of different things. But oftentimes, it's the fact that the cost basis isn't accurate. Now, you can still put in your cost basis on your tax return. You can put that in appropriately, but you need to do it. And if you don't know how to do it, if you can't find it, if you can't figure it out, there's a little bit of a problem. So that's why one of the things that we do at Friedman Financial is when we take over accounts for you, when we take over accounts, we're insistent that we understand what the cost basis is. Because how can I make a recommendation to you to sell a security if I don't know what the tax liability is going to be when we sell it? You know, oftentimes brokerage firms or financial advisors will say, hey, move your account over to us. Just sell it all, move it over in cash, we'll take care of it. Or when the money comes over here, we'll just sell it and put it in cash. And then you got to figure out what your capital gains are going to be. I think that is absolutely a fraud. I think that is absolutely ridiculous that if you're going to be their professional, you need to guide them all along the way and make sure that it is clear in their minds what the tax implication is going to be to make changes. Now, most brokerage firms will allow you to move securities in what's called in-kind, which means you move them as is from one place to the next. And then you can decide, what do we want to sell? What do we want to keep? Maybe we want to have a strategy for unwinding these mutual funds or these stocks that you might have. That's good planning. But that 1099 provides a lot more information than you might think. And if it's not prepared properly or you don't give the supporting information to go along with it, it can be problematic. So I want you to think about that. Take a look at the 1099s when you get them or if you've already had them. Make sure that there is cost basis that supports every line on what's called the realized gains and loss part of your 1099. All right, when we get back, I want to talk to you about this 1099R feature because many people this past year had the opportunity where they took money out of their IRA. They had to take what was called a required minimum distribution in 2020. And then because of the pandemic, the government said, you know what? If you don't want to take it, you can actually put it back in your account. But there are some problems we are finding with that. And I want to bring this to your attention so that you don't have to pay more tax than is necessary. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
It's Paul from Gentilly Brewing. On Thursday, March 4th at 4 o'clock, the Gentilly Tap Room at 59 Park Street turns 5. It's our 5th anniversary. In honor of that milestone, throughout February and March, we are releasing 4 new beers and cans and 5 old favorites. Bastion Brown, Blonde, Chaos Pale Ale, Belgian Pale Ale, West Coast Double IPA, English Bitter, Spring Sour, Irish Red, and an Italian Pilsner. Whew! We hope you're thirsty. To sample our beer and celebrate our 5th anniversary, visit the Gentilly Tap Room at 59 Park Street in Beverly or order curbside pickup from the website Gentilly, G-E-N-T-I-L-E brewing.com.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Massachusetts Army National Guard. Aired by the Massachusetts Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or on the web at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
It's not about the money, money, money. We don't need your money, money, money. We just
welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. It is 8:35 on a Sunday. It is Super Bowl Sunday. Who are you rooting for today? I'm not quite sure who I'm rooting for. I'm just looking forward to the game, looking forward to the commercials. I'm not looking forward to just kind of doing this show, watching the game with just my wife and my daughter and my son. I usually used to go to Super Bowl parties. We used to host big-time Super Bowl parties, and I've got the Super Bowl item that I make every year. It's the one time a year that I make it. It is disgusting, and it's probably something that you will say, oh, my God, that is so gross, but it's the one thing that I look forward to every year. About an hour after I eat it, I say to myself, why did I do this? But I'm doing it again. It's the Velveeta cheese and the salsa. And nice, you know, you take that Velveeta cheese block, you break it up into cubes, you microwave it, you put it in the microwave, let it get nice and soft. You add the salsa, you mix it all in, and man, that is the best dip for tortilla chips. So can't wait to do that tonight. I'll have some chicken wings I know we're going to have and a few other items just for the four of us. So it'll be small. Anyways. Since we're back, I wanted to once again remind you again of our newsletter. It comes out every Friday. Friday at 10:30 in the morning. Last week, we had 12 people sign up for our newsletter. All you need to do is go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name, your email address, and you can send me a message if you'd like. We do, and if you have any questions in there, I respond to them almost immediately. I'll say hello to you. A few people asked some questions yesterday, but we have over 7,500 subscribers who get that newsletter. Anyways, now that we're back, I wanted to continue our conversation on taxes and some of these tax forms that you're receiving in the mail. So if you're over 72 years old, you know that the law requires you to take what's called a minimum distribution from your IRA account. That is the law. You have to take money on a minimum distribution because you've been able to defer taxes for a great number of years. And you still haven't paid taxes on any of the distributions. And the government says, we want you to take your money. And people oftentimes ask, Mark, when I hit 72, do I have to cash out my IRA? No, you don't have to cash out your IRA. Don't worry about that. But you have to take a certain amount of money every year. So oftentimes people ask, how much do I have to take? Well, let's first talk about what happens. December 31st of this year, whatever the value was of your collective IRA accounts, and that could include your it could include your 403Bs, your 457 account, your IRAs, your Roth IRAs, all of this stuff that you might have, even your 401k, as long as you're not working. They post all of those values. And they say, here's the total value of your retirement accounts. You must take, in the year 2021, a percentage. And if you're 72, that percentage is 3.65% of the value of your account. So if you had $100,000 in collective IRA accounts on December 31st, you must take out sometime this year, 2021, $3,650. It will be taxable to you. And you can have taxes withheld if you'd like. Someone in office like mine, we withhold the taxes for you. And you can do that. However, in 2020, last year, because of COVID-19, many people who had taken money from their IRAs were granted the opportunity to return those IRA distributions back to their retirement accounts and given the opportunity where they wouldn't have to take a distribution for 2020. Now, does that mean you'd have to take two distributions in 2021? Nope. It was just a vacation, a sabbatical from having to take money in 2020. But here's the kicker. So let's say in 2020, you were over the age of 72 and you took $20,000 from your IRA. It was paid to you. Perhaps you even had taxes withheld. Let's say you had $5,000 in total taxes withheld, so you got a net check of $15,000. So you are going to get a 1099R, probably this week, if not already, that says you took out $20,000 from your IRA, and it will show that $5,000 was in tax withholding, but $20,000 was the distribution. However, what if you took advantage of the opportunity to return it? And many people did. They said, I want to return my money. Well, many people decided to return the check that they got, $15,000, and they returned that to their IRA account. Now, $5,000, remember, was already sent to the government. The government isn't giving back, isn't giving you back the $5,000. You've already paid $5,000 to the government. So there's a $5,000 distribution. The other $15,000 was what you received and you're returning. Well, here's the problem. When you get your 1099, the 1099 is going to say you took $20,000 and you had $5,000 withheld. But what if, like you said, what if you returned $15,000? How does the government know you returned it? If you don't show that you returned the $15,000, your tax return is going to reflect the fact that you took $20,000 and you're going to have to owe taxes on it. But Mark, I just returned $15,000. It can be complicated because there's nothing that's being reported to you that shows what you paid back. Now, when you make a contribution to an IRA, and that's what you'd be doing is returning this money, you get a form that's called Form 5498. But that doesn't come to you till May. That's too late. So if you don't let your accountant know that you returned money to your IRA, you could find yourself paying more in tax. Let me make this a little bit clearer now for you. I think I made it a little confusing before. Let's just assume you took $20,000. No taxes withheld. You just said, I'm taking $20,000, I'll pay my taxes. If you take that $20,000 and you return it back to your IRA, you're still going to show a $20,000 distribution and have to pay tax on it. Because unless you let your accountant know, the accountant is going to assume that you didn't pay it back. You have to show him proof, him or her, proof that you paid it back. One of the things I don't want you to be surprised about this year in April is having to pay more in taxes than you need to. Now, everything does work out. Don't worry about it. It does work itself out through a check and balance system. But you don't want to have to come up with more money than is necessary. If you've paid back money into your IRA, you've paid it back into the system, you want to show the IRS that you paid it back. You need to do that. And there's no form that's coming your way to tell you that. We sent out a letter to our clients just this past week for those that actually took money from their IRAs and chose to return it back to the IRS last year to remind them and show them verification that the money was returned so that they don't pay more tax than they need to. Folks, this is very important. You want to be sure you do this right. And that's where you need some financial guidance along the way, a financial professional to support you who's looking out for your best interest. Because frankly, look, if I took $20,000 from my IRA back in March of 2020 and then decided to return it in July, and then I got a 1099 in January of this year saying that I took $20,000 from my IRA, I'm not going to remember or wonder, does the IRS know that I paid it back? You have to have that documentation. You got to be able to prove that to your accountant. Or if you're doing it on your own through TurboTax, you need to be able to be prepared to report that appropriately on your software. Are you ready to do that? And you don't want to screw that one up. That could cost you a lot of money. A lot of money. So you want to do it right. That's what financial planners do. It's not just about investing the money. Frankly, I'll be very honest with you. Investing the money in our office, that is the easiest part. If you think investing money is hard, you've been fooled. Investing money for the long term is not hard. It just needs patience. It needs a system. It needs a plan. And that's about it, folks. It's all of the other stuff that gets in the way that makes life complicated. But a financial planner knows all of that. They know far beyond what your investment allocation is. They know what your mortgage payment is. They know that you have to pay for your kids to go to college. They know that you're paying for mom and dad in the nursing home, perhaps. Maybe you want to buy a boat. Maybe you got Social Security to make a decision on. Maybe you have a pension. Maybe you're thinking about retirement. Maybe you've just inherited some money. All of those things have implications on the plan that you have in play. And oftentimes, it's very difficult to be rational during those emotional times. So it's important. One other thing to think about, if you are over the age of 72, if you're over the age of 72, is this opportunity to take what's called a qualified charitable deduction. Now, if you are one who likes to give money to your church or to some type of a not-for-profit organization, and you do so by writing checks, and you're over the age of 72, here's an idea to save you tax money. Instead of writing the check to the church, since you're over the age of 72, you must take a minimum distribution, and you know you have to pay tax on that. What if you could take part of that minimum distribution and just give it to the church or to your not-for-profit organization? If you could do that directly from your IRA, did you know that you don't have to pay tax on that distribution? You save yourself from having to pay tax on that. No, you don't get a tax deduction, but the money goes, the gross amount goes right to the church, and you don't have to worry about paying taxes on it. And since our tax returns have been adjusted such that itemization of charitable deductions on a tax return are essentially zero, because most people have a standard deduction that's greater than what you will deduct on your tax return, you could take part of your minimum distribution that you have to take from your IRA, and instead of taking it for yourself and withholding taxes, you just assign it to your not-for-profit choice of a location. That saves you money. Let's say, for instance, someone came into my office this week and they say, Mark, every week I go to the church and I write a check, or I give them $100. A nice donation, $100 every week. That's $5,200 a year. And they're just taking that out of their bank account. But this person has to take a $20,000 required minimum distribution. And I said, well, why don't you take $5,200 of that and just send it to the church? Because in order for you to have $5,200 to give to the church the way you're doing it, you would have had to have taken money from your IRA, paid tax on it, and then given the money. What if you could do it without having to pay tax on the money? So this is something that's eligible for people who are 72 years of age or older. And it is a great strategy to consider, especially in times like this where you're not able to get deductions for your charitable contributions. Something to consider. That's what I call financial advice in a language you can understand. I want to remind you again about our newsletter that comes up each and every Friday. It lands in your inbox. It's called Planning Pointers. All you need to do is go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of the page, put in your name, your email address, and any other information you want to put in. There's an open text box there. You can write me messages, whatever you like. And I'm actually going to check my phone here to see how many people have actually already signed up. Two people already have signed up for the newsletter. It comes right to me live, because that's where we are, live in studio here. All right. Before we take a quick break, I want to remind you, if now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning needs, I want you to give us a call. I want you to think about, do I need some help in trying to get the big picture together? Has it been fun for a while working with a variety of different investment professionals, maybe doing it myself, but now I'm beginning to think about retirement. I'm approaching retirement. I need to make decisions about Social Security, about my pension options, what I should do with the allocation of my 401k plan. What if my wife or my husband is older or younger than I am? Do we retire at different times? Will we run out of money? What if we want to help our kids pay for a car or for a house? Or what if we're expecting an inheritance from our parents or not at all? What should we be thinking about? How should we be preparing? Do we have the right amount of life insurance? Do we need life insurance? At 65 years old, do you really need life insurance? Good question. Do you need life insurance to bury you? I don't think so anymore. Remember, folks, the whole term about life insurance to bury you, that comment came around back in the, you know, pre-1970, pre-1980. It's when people retired and their only source of income was Social Security and a pension, and they might have had a couple $1,000 in the bank, and that was it. They had a house that was worth $29,900, and when they died, Their pension stopped. Their Social Security stopped. And they were dead. And the spouse or the family would go to the funeral home and they'd, you know, have the funeral. They'd pick the coffin. They'd do all of the funeral preparations. And the funeral director would expect to be paid when the life insurance policy settled up. Well, folks, that's not the case anymore. If you've tried to coordinate a funeral for somebody, and unfortunately, as a financial advisor who's been doing this for 30 plus years, and since my father started the firm in 1968, we've had a lot of clients that have passed away. In fact, we average 18 clients every single year who pass away. So we have a lot of experience in guiding our clients with what to do when someone dies. And I will tell you this, the funeral directors, they're not waiting around for a life insurance settlement check anymore. You know what they want? They want your credit card. So you don't need to say, well, I need a life insurance policy to bury me. You pay with a credit card or you write a check, because most people today have more than just a pension and Social Security. They have money in the bank. They have investment accounts. They have an IRA. They have 401ks. There's plenty of money around. But you have to check. Is life insurance something that you need perhaps for estate planning? Perhaps you need it for a variety of other reasons. But the question of, do I need life insurance as I approach retirement, is an important question to be asking. So that's another one of those pieces of financial advice in a language you can understand that we prepare for when we have those meetings with you. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we're back, I want to talk to you about, should investors root for Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes today? Because maybe the direction of what they do will steer us towards the direction of the stock market. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Markets continue to gyrate, politicians keep bickering, and planning for life as normal could still be several months away. This is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial in Peabody, and I know that money is a stressful subject. Since 1968, we've provided rational financial advice during some of life's most tumultuous times. But when it comes to your retirement, you deserve personalized, fiduciary-based advice that places your interests first. At Friedman Financial, we're ready to listen, to react, and deliver financial advice in a language you can understand. You've worked hard for decades. Don't you deserve a sense of calm and confidence as you prepare for and live through your retirement years? So if now is the time to get serious about your financial future, I hope you'll give us a call at 978-531-8108 or visit us at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Did you know that professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States? And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, you should see the Anderson Woodright replacement windows, which can add considerable value to any home. See the Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Ever wonder why the Italians are so happy? You know, it's the food. Hi, Nick Yebba here, the owner of Teresa's Italian Eatery. I decided to create a place where you feel like part of that big Italian family. Dining over stories, great food, and lots of fine wine. Come to Teresa's Italian Eatery at 149 South Main Street, Route 114 in Middleton. Available for dine-in, takeout, and catering. Teresa's Italian Eatery. Dine like one big Italian family.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. For more than 50 years, we've been providing individuals and families on the North Shore and Merrimack Valley with financial advice in a language you can understand. As each of us struggle to find answers in this uncertain environment, we're continuing to communicate with our clients in a variety of ways. Our weekly newsletter, our video town hall, our client teleconferences, and periodic phone calls continue to offer ways to address clients' questions despite remaining physically distant. If you're feeling alone and searching for rational advice during these emotional times, perhaps Friedman Financial can provide the comfort that you need. Give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108.
8108 or visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents. We've only got a couple minutes left before we flip it over to Scott Whitley over at Wicked Bites Radio. And I want to remind each and every one of you, if you are planning on taking your loved one out for Valentine's Day, make your reservations now because, in fact, it may even be too late. A lot of restaurants, fortunately, this Monday, they're opening up with 40% capacity, which is really nice. I wish it would 100% already. But if you're planning on going out, make your reservations early because those restaurants would love to see you there. And it'll be a great opportunity for you to get out and enjoy some of the great restaurants that we have here on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, in the southern New Hampshire area. I promised you that before we took a break, before we headed out of here, I would share with you some information about Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes and how this all relates to the stock market, or doesn't. Earlier this week, I posted something on Facebook. It said, just for fun, if you're an advocate for making money in the stock market, you may not want to root for Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, but then again, maybe you do. Consider this. TB12 has been in 9 big games prior to Sunday. The average return of the S&P 500 in the years when Tom plays in the big game is 0.5%, basically a flat year. Now, in years when he's won, though, the S&P 500 has averaged 6.0%. But when he's lost, it's been 10.4%. However, when the NFC has won, the average return for the S&P 500 is 10.2%. And when the AFC wins, the Chiefs, it's 7.1%. But here's one more fun fact. Did you know that there have been 54 winners in the past Super Bowls? This is Super Bowl 55, right? Of all the 54 winners, only 20 football teams have accounted for all of the wins. The year when the S&P 500 performed its best was in 2003. And guess who played in that Super Bowl? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They won the game. And the Super Bowl, the stock market went up 26.4%. So if you like playing those odds, I know it's very confusing, but it just goes to show you that, folks, it really doesn't matter who wins this game. The stock market is going to do what it wants to do, not based upon who wins the Super Bowl. And we believe that there is great opportunity ahead for us in the stock market. The economic future of this country looks amazing. Though, if you listen to some of these news broadcasts, you might think that we're heading in another direction. Folks, I don't think that's the case at all. It's going to be different. We're going to be running things a little bit different. We may not have, gasoline-powered cars in 20 years from now. We may be doing things a lot differently, but there are other industries that will thrive, others that will die, and others that will just continue to plod along, delivering us the best of what they can do. So, with that, I want to send you off encouraging you to remain positive about the stock market, remain positive about your financial plan. But if you're feeling confused, if you're juggling a lot of balls, if you're dealing with the paranoia of what to do, please, please, please give us a call. 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We will be back next week, Sunday, Valentine's Day, with a Valentine's Day special. Have a great day. Off to you, Scott Whitley. Enjoy. Just start visiting those restaurants, folks. Have a great night. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you.
Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.